Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Comedy Castle podcast. I'm your host, Joel Fragamenti, going to tell you what's going on this week at Mark Ridley's Comedy Castle. We've got our guest, Paul Mercurio, lined up here. We had a fun interview just a couple of days ago that we'll let you listen to here. A lot of funny stories. Paul's one of the most entertaining guys that's really I've ever seen at Mark Ridley's Comedy Castle, and it's been 2 years since he's been with us. So this is the week to come, okay? And I'm going to run down the week, and you'll see that it's the only act of the week, because on Wednesday night, that being February 11th, we've got a Salvation Army Comedy for a Cause benefit. That one will actually have doors at 6 p.m. There's a dinner. If you want those tickets, you can click through our website at comedycastle.com. But it is to benefit the Salvation Army Bed and Bread Club Radiothon. And that's Wednesday, February 11th, with the 6 o'clock doors, little dinner before the show. Showtime, 7:30. I'm sure there'll be some charity auction and that kind of stuff there. So you can come out to that one. And then we've got Paul the rest of the week on Thursday the 12th at 7:30 p.m. That's your Thursday show. Friday, 7:15 p.m. and 9:45 on February 13th. And, of course, Valentine's Day. It's Valentine's week. Love is in the air at the Comedy Castle, and Paul Mercurio will be your headliner on Valentine's Day at 7 p.m. and 9:30 p.m. And, of course, those Valentine's tickets are going to go, guys. So if you're listening to this and you don't have Valentine's plans and you want to come to the Comedy Castle and see Paul, and I recommend that you do. I think that's a great night out. You got to get your tickets now. Go on comedycastle.com and get those tickets. Andrew Joback and Kyle Forsyth will be your opening acts this coming up weekend. So fun shows with Paul. Paul, if you don't know him, is a comedian, is a former lawyer turned comedian. In fact, he'll tell his origin story is how he got into comedy. That's towards the end of our interview, in which a big celebrity he wrote a couple of jokes for. He has been for the last several years. He was a contributing writer to The Daily Show with Jon Stewart. He also worked with Stephen Colbert on his Comedy Central program as well. He is now working at The Late Show with Stephen Colbert on CBS. And he is the warm-up comedian for their live tapings at the Ed Sullivan Theater. That's one of the things we're going to talk about, because I went out, I visited Paul, me and my wife, and we got VIP treatment at the Late Show with Stephen Colbert at the Ed Sullivan in New York. Had a great time. Got to watch Paul do his thing in that legendary place where the Beatles conquered America. And that was 62 years ago, right? Today, as we sit here, as I'm talking to you. Something to that effect. But anyway, it's great talk. A lot of funny stories. Some stories from his one-man show called Permission to Speak, where he gets people on stage to tell their stories. You'll also hear about Paul appearing on CNN. We'll talk about the cancellation of Stephen Colbert and the chilling effect that has had. But a fun interview, funny stories about hanging around in the park and why Paul can't do that, and really neither can I anymore. Stories about the holidays. Amazon does not like Paul, huh? Strange. Good story, though. Funny. I really enjoyed talking to Paul. The shows this week are going to be just fantastic. A lot of audience interaction, and you're not safe anywhere in the room. So Paul might want to talk to you, even if you're sitting in the back of the room. He can do that. He's got that ability, and he's great at it. He really is a super talent, and it's an honor to have him back on this show. It's an honor to have him back at the Comedy Castle, let's be honest. And let's just let you listen to the interview. If you don't have tickets, again, Valentine's Day, get those seats. For Paul Mercurio, here he is right now. Ladies and gentlemen, on the other end of my line, it is a pleasure to talk to, I don't usually give somebody this word when in the intro, but my friend, Paul Mercurio, this weekend's headliner. How you doing, Paul?
I'm sorry, who is this? Hi, Joe.
Yeah, Joe. Is it Joe? It's Joel with an L at the end.
Oh, there you go. Sorry, Joel with an L. You got to be annoying. You had to add that fourth
I did.
Letter.
I added the friend in, and it burned me. That's why I don't say it.
Oh, my God.
That's why I assume people know.
You know what? You're the male version of Sarah. Like, there's a Sarah with an A, and then the H. They add the H to be like fancy and hoity-toity. So we're gonna call you Jay. That's it. That's all you get out of me.
Do you want to know why I'm Joel? There's actually a story that's funny that you'll relate to.
Yes.
Well, you know, my dad is Italian guy from Italy. He was named Giuseppe. When he became an American citizen, he became Joseph. My dad said, I want this to be Joseph Jr. My wife said, I don't want two Josephs. That's, you know, that'll be confusing to the kid. So I would like to name him Joel. My dad said, why Joel? And she said, well, whenever I watch a movie, I see a lot of Joels in the credits. Or if I drive by a lawyer's office, there's always a Joel on the nameplate. Sometimes I see doctors and they're Joel. So these are successful people. You know, I got to a certain age and said, Mom, do you realize those were all Jews? And I'm an Italian guy named Joel. I'm the only one, I think. So, you know, but my mom didn't know. She didn't know from Jews, you know, living up where she grew up. Yeah. There was no Jews, you know. Yeah. But meanwhile,
You're kind of Jewish. You're circumcised. That's all right. You showed me that in New York when you were here.
Well, first of all, thank you for what you did for us in New York. That was terrific. I appreciate me and my wife. Man. Appreciate that. We got VIP treatment over at The Late Show with Stephen Colbert, where Paul did the warm-up and just masterful 20 minutes. Beautiful crowd work, bringing people up. It was amazing.
Thank you.
Great
show.
Yeah,
I mean, I did. It was. I'm glad you had a good time. It was a little tough on me because we have a post-mortem after every show, like how, you know, this, that, and there was apparently a complaint from Stephen that you creeped him out. Your eyes kept up and down, checking him out. And your wife was unbuttoning something, apparently. So it's like, yep, that's my friend Joe. I was happy to do it, man.
It was great. We were front row. And you come out and you're just like, why didn't you tell me you're here in front of the whole, on the microphone, in front of the whole Ed Sullivan Theater? I'm getting, told.
Yeah, because you're supposed to text me because I forget. We booked it so far out. And then I'm like, oh, geez. No. Yeah. And you know, it's funny, though. It's always fun for me when, someone comes that you know.
Yeah.
Because it sounds crazy, but. Like, you do it all the time, and you kind of, it can be like a job. Like, I'm at my job, and I'm performing for 500 people in the Ed Sullivan Theater, and it's like, whatever. But when you see it through somebody else's eyes, you know what I mean? Like, how excited you guys were, and how cool it was for you to be in the theater.
Really
it's like, you kind of, it keeps my enthusiasm up. But it was great. And
it was great seeing you. And I don't know if you remember, it was a monumental night in late night television. Because during the taping, Stephen found out that Jimmy Kimmel was suspended. That was that night.
I forgot about that.
He stopped the taping, and it was there was definitely a black cloud hanging over the Ed Sullivan night.
And that's what you do. Anywhere you go, you bring black clouds. Unbelievable. Never changes with you. No, you know, you're right
that
now, and I
night,
forget
yeah.
about that. And I, it's funny because that kicked me into, you know, I've always gone on like the cable news, but I've been doing a lot of it.
Yeah, we've seen you on CNN. Yeah.
CNN, MSNBC, and MS Now. And that's right. You're right. That was like.
And you spoke out, you know, you just went out there and made a lot of sense.
Yeah. It was crazy, you know, and it's just, you know, the world we're living in now. And like, you know, that we're canceled in May, so we're done. And, you know, you got to be careful when you get mad and all that stuff, whatever. And then going out to drinks and then
we had a couple drinks.
And then usually spending a lot of time in the bathroom with a hooker. And I'm like, your wife is right here.
Yeah, she's right.
It's like, it's New York, man. It's what you do. I'm like, all right. Okay. I consoled her, though. I took care of her. Make sure
thanks. It was the highlight of the trip for sure.
You got it, buddy. Anytime.
It was terrific.
And you should come in June.
What's in June? Tell me what's in June.
No, there's nothing.
June. There you go. Yeah, wait outside the Ed Sullivan. We'll get you in.
Well, I'll be right there.
Just wait out there. I'll be there.
You're knocking on the window. Hey, Paul, come on, man. No, I was glad you guys came. It was fun hanging out too.
And you've been doing, in addition to stand up all over the country, Permission to Speak is out there, and you're doing those.
Yeah, my
too.
That's my
tell people
show directed
about
by Frank Oz, and and we're talking about bringing it to the Royal Oak area or downtown because you know I've been coming there and got a nice following and all, and so basically it's born out of my stand up. I like talking to audiences, but it's not crowd work like. I'm making fun of your hat or whatever, you know, or like I'm asking you about your hat, but I don't really care about your hat. I just have a bit about a hat and I want to make it look like it was done off the top of my head when we all know it was pre-written and I want to stab you as a comedian when you do that. this was born out of just real conversations with audience members and some Broadway producers saw me doing it and they thought the people were plants. And I'm like, no. And they go, well, how did it all work out? I'm like, they said, did you pre-screen them? I'm like, no. They go, well, what do you do? I said, I don't know. I just walk out and I start talking to people. He goes, they go, that's it? I go, yeah. They go, well, how does it work out? I go, I think because everybody has a story. It's cliche, but it's true. And I think if they know you're not going to be like a jerk and, you know, compromise them, they'll tell you anything. And a lot of people want to like just get stuff off their chest. Like I had a guy, I don't know, 30 something. I think he's a New York guy, kind of a tough like guy, but like a wiry guy, not like a big, like
me,
guy.
Kind of a little bit built like me.
Yeah, exactly. You know, he's like you, he eats on a high chair and he, so I'm like, what's going on? You know, you can tell body language, like, I go, what's going on? I just broke up with my girlfriend. I go, what happened? He goes, we just couldn't get along. I go, what, like communication? He goes, yeah, you could say that. I go, what happened? He goes, well, you know, she wouldn't listen to me. I told her not to shoplift at CVS. And I'm like, wait, stop. Did you just say at CVS? He goes, yeah. He goes, I taught her how to shoplift. Anyway, I go, wait, no, not anyway. Stop, back up. Now, everybody in the audience is like, what is going on, right? And I go, what are you talking about? He goes, well, that's how I make money. I shoplift. And then I sell the stuff. But I shoplift like nice stuff. Like I go to like Saks and Bergdorf Goodman's, you know, like all that stuff. And he goes, and I go, how long have you been doing this? He goes, I've been stealing stuff since I was like 11. He goes, wow. I would steal bikes in my neighborhood and then I'd sell them back to the kids I stole them from or I beat them up. I'm like, okay. So I go, what happened? He goes, so, you know, my girlfriend, she sees me like getting all this really nice stuff from shoplifting. And she's like, oh, I want nice stuff. Teach me how to shoplift. And he's like, I'm not going to teach you how to shoplift because you're just going to shoplift in stupid places where it doesn't make any sense. Like, you know, to get cheap stuff, you got to shoplift a good place. Now understand, he's not saying don't shoplift. He's just saying, if you're going to do it in the right places. And now people's heads are exploding in the audience because this guy's not putting on an act. He's not self-aware. He's just like being real. And that's what's the cool thing about the show is like, and the same thing with my stand-up this week at the Comedy Castle, I'll end up talking to the audience members and you get into these conversations and they go somewhere and you're like, did I just hear that? So I go, what happened? He goes, well, she nagged me. And I finally taught her how to shoplift. And I go, what happened? He goes, well, wouldn't you know it? Like a week after I taught her, I get a call at 2 o'clock in the morning. She's at CVS. She's been arrested for shoplifting lipstick and a hand mirror. I told her, right? She's going crazy, right? And I go, so what happened? He goes, well, I went down there, went to see her in the squad car. We're getting a big argument in the back of the squad car. She wouldn't listen to me. I told you should have listened to me. I go, well, what happened? He goes, well, I broke up with her. I go, what, a couple of days later? He goes, nah, right in the back of the squad car. He goes, screw this. I don't need this aggravation. And the place goes crazy.
Oh, my God.
So it's just those kind of stories. And, you know, we were talking about names, right? And your name, Joel, perfect example. So I said to a woman, all I said to her was, what's your name? And she goes, Nydia. And I said, Lydia with an L? She goes, no, Nydia with an N. I go, that's a unique name. How did you get that? That's all I said to her. And she goes, oh, well, my father got my mother pregnant with me, but at the same time was having an affair with a woman named Nydia, and he named me after the woman having an affair with. And you're like, and everybody's like, oh my God, like they're screaming. So it's really been cool. And the same thing happens in my stand-up shows. And then afterwards, you know, people are going up and like chatting with each other, like going up and saying, hey, did you really teach your girlfriend how to shoplift? And so, you know, and then, will you teach me how to shoplift? I guess it's like, it's just this. So, it's really been a lot of fun. And we have a really cool set designed by the set designer for The Late Show with Stephen Colbert. We do like animations done by J.J. Settlemyer, who's been Beavis and Butthead and did all the SNL TV Funhouse videos. And it's been really fun. And I've been sort of interspersing that with my stand-up, I'm doing the stand-up at the Comedy Castle.
Yeah. One of our favorite acts, and it is Valentine's weekend.
So
we know we're gonna have the couples out there, and
that's gonna be it. Yeah, and I'm not taking my wife because that's my Valentine's Day gift to her is to not be around, and she just wants her and the dog Daisy. My dog finds me annoying.
Really,
my dog. Yeah, my dog. Literally, I'm not making this up. Whenever I walk into a room, she immediately gets up, gives me a dirty look, and walks into the other room like. Like literally the look on her face is like, oh, this asshole again. And then if I walk into that room and she just walked into that room and got comfortable, she looks at me like, really, really? I just got comfortable in here, butthead. You don't know how this works? You stay in that room. I stay in this room. And my wife says, oh, well, it's your voice. She finds it annoying. I'm like, well, do I sound like a vacuum cleaner to her? She's a dog. Now, let me tell you something. Here's what pisses me off. I saved that dog's life. We adopted that dog at a kennel, and that dog, they should have, maybe somebody's listening out there, they should have a lemon law when you adopt dogs, because this dog has a weak sphincter, and she would just, and I'm Italian, you know, I'm raising my voice left, right, and center, right? Like, over the littlest things, pass the salt. What did you mean by that? You know, that kind of thing. And she, like, the least little agitation, and there's, like, little square. You come to my house, there's wee pads everywhere. It looks like an assisted living facility in my house, okay? So they're going to be happy that I'm gone, trust me.
Oh, yeah. Now, how do you find a Valentine's crowd? Do you think is it different? Is it people, you know? Because I feel like New Year's Eve, Valentine's Day, maybe people usually would go to comedy, but they're there.
No, they're usually good. What I do, just, you know, I usually wear a thong, just a thong, because it's Valentine's Day, and that's what the ladies want, and some of the gay men too, because the gays love me.
Oh,
and I got very full lips. Come on, you know, you've accidentally leaned in, you know, in the car driving, going from one TV station to another.
Absolutely. We got an hour to kill before Fox 2. What are we doing?
Exactly.
I guess we're making out in the parking lot here.
Two Italians rubbing a little scotol together. Hey, you show me your sausage, I'll show you mine. I think they're fine. You know, I like them because they're not like bachelorette or bachelorette parties where they're hammered or whatever. They're having some drinks. It's like, even if they're young, it's like, it's just a good vibe in the room. And, you know, the people are always really cool about stuff. And I have a good time, you know, and then, you know, I could talk about sort of being, I mean, I've been with my wife forever. We dated in high school. So, you know, so it gives me a chance to talk about some of that stuff. And we dated 15 years before we got married.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, she proposed finally. Oh, come on. It was very, very,
Me and my wife did, I think, seven before.
Did she, like,
getting married? Yeah.
Did one of you say, hey, we gotta go to the next level, or was it kind of a mutual thing?
Well,
or?
she did, and I was like, okay. Well, she gave me all kind of, you can't do this when you propose, you can't do this when you propose.
What?
Yeah, like, it was like, don't put a ring under the tree. That's Christmas. That's sacred. We want to keep Christmas and not some anniversary for us, and you can't do it in public, you can't do it while you're doing comedy, you can't do it. So there's a whole list of ways
did you say to her, well, I can't do it with all these demands, so we're not doing it?
I found
you just talked yourself out of a marriage, lady.
I thought I found a good way to do it, and even that didn't go as I wanted it to, but hey, What can I
tell
you?
What, did you do it at a Chuck E. Cheese?
We did it at, they won't let me in there, but we did it at, they won't let you in without a kid. Did you know that? You can't go to Chuck E. Cheese. Like you
Are
and
you
your
serious?
Date can't just go and play games there. No, you can't do that.
That reminds me.
You have to have a child.
Okay. So that's kind of how I got my kid. I just went and took him from Chuck E. Cheese. So don't, but, you know, he didn't seem to
and
mind.
Now you can
he
go.
Cried for about 4 or 5 yeah. years, but then he got over it. Right. So no, this actually reminds me, this happened about 2 months ago. It was getting cold, but then there was one day and it was like sunny and I'm like, I need some sun. My wife's been on me, like, get outside. But I just gotten up. I was kind of disheveled and I threw on some sweats and whatever. And there's a playground a block from my apartment in New York City. And it's got some benches that are like right in the direct sunlight at that time of the day. So I'm just sitting there and I'm unshaven. And then there's kids there, nannies or mothers, and I'm looking around and then I'm starting to get these looks. And I realized like I'm this disheveled, creepy guy. Like in the park, like in the playground. And I looked like an unemployed magician waiting to pick up his kid from his divorced wife. And then I was arrested and raped. But it was all worth it. No, that actually did happen. I was sitting there and I got really self-conscious. Yeah. And then like, I started tying my shoe to make myself like look like I was doing something, but then I realized I just look like a creepy pedophile getting ready to pounce by tying his shoe. Like it was a whole thing. I screwed up the whole thing.
Everything made you more conspicuous.
Yes,
exactly. Every move you made, there was no getting out of it.
Exactly.
Because I walk my fluffy dogs through the park. And that looks super suspicious if you think about it, because there's a play area and I'm trying to have the dogs not go to that area because inevitably the kids want to pet these fluffy little dogs. And
then it's like, OK, here's a guy laying his trap for these
exactly.
children.
Yeah. You get the little shih tzu that the kids want to play with. It's no good.
And they're whispering to each other. Yeah. That guy looks like a Joel with an L. He looks like a Joel.
Oh man! So how are your holidays? We're in January, February now. So
they're all right. You know, so we're only still a month. It was all right. Like I said, I grew up in New England, Rhode Island. Went up there to see the family, and you know, that's always painful. I got a brother-in-law that is annoying. My sister-in-law, like nice person, and cheap, very cheap. Okay. Yeah, and she's got the money, but every Christmas she gives me my gift is a $2 lottery ticket. Yeah. Nothing says I give a shit about you less than a 1 in 400 billion chance of getting a gift. And then she has the nerve to put it in a greeting card, which was $8. The card was 4 times the price of the friggin' gift. And then I scratched it off and it said, your sister-in-law really detests you. And I'm like, wow, this is really personal. She really does. She gives the thing. And then another-in-law, they got money, you know, guys like a big time, a doctor. And, he's got like a big house and a pond and this and that. And boats and big cars and fancy and like whatever, and we go to stay with him and we stay in the spare bedroom, and you know what we sleep on? A blow-up mattress. Not any blow-up mattress, the cheapest one you could get at Costco. You know, the minute your body hits it, you roll into the middle like that. Well, he's coming down to New York to visit and he's really overweight, so I'm going to get him an inflatable duck for a pool to sleep on and see how he likes that. Bastard. But yeah, you know, it's the holidays. What are you going to do?
You got to get something. It's so easy to shop now with Amazon and everything. Why not just go on there?
Well, it is, but it's like, first of all, you can't talk to a human being. You can't try anything on. Yeah. And we return a lot of stuff because I'm that guy. Like I return stuff and like I, you know, And We got this threatening, email, I guess the best way to put it.
Yeah.
I'm not making this up, from Amazon.
And from it said, Amazon.
We noticed you're returning a lot of stuff. And if you continue to return a lot of stuff, you're going to go past the quota and we're going to cancel your Prime subscription.
Oh, wow. Man.
And I'm just thinking, like, this is really what Jeff Bezos has to do with his time? Like, what are you, the mob? Yeah. Hey, Mr. Mercurio, we noticed you've been returning a lot of stuff lately. It'd be a shame if you would have to walk to the post office yourself to pick up your little packages, you know?
Right.
And so it's like, okay, all right. All right. Okay. So there you go. I'm not shopping at Amazon anymore, which means I'm not shopping.
Yeah. I've heard of people get, I think my wife even for a moment was on the, you know, she got a threat. Yeah. I think she
got a threat.
I think she got a threat. And it was like, okay.
I'm going to try to find out. I'm going to find out where Bezos's giant yacht is and go key it. I'm going to take my car key and just rip it right down the side. Oh, God. But I'm looking forward to seeing you, buddy.
Yeah, it should be a great week, man. It should be. I think our weather may be improving from what we've had. It's been brutal. I know New York's been bad too, but it's been unbelievably cold and snowy. And
is it keeping people away or
a little? I think a little. You know, what it's been is that when you get to Saturday night, people will go out. They will brave it. You know, so we've got weeks where. Yeah, that Thursday show was real. You know, you could have done the Thursday show in, a photomat. I know that makes me sound old, but and then the Saturday show sold out.
Yeah.
So you get those tickets if you want to come Saturday for Paul. And it is Valentine's Day. So I really recommend you go on comedycastle.com and get those tickets as soon as you can. And of course,
man.
You know, when those sell out, then your Friday sells out and then your Thursday sells out. And hey.
That's it.
And you've done that many times, and you'll do it again.
We'll do it again, and I'm going to come out dressed as Cupid. I'm going to have glitter, red glitter, and I'm going to have those little binder clips on my nipples. Just because I like pain. And you know what? I'm going to do TV that way, too.
Yeah, okay, sure.
I'm going to leave red glitter all over Royal Oak. It'll be fun though.
Yeah.
It's my favorite club. You guys are, I was saying off air, you know, before we get on, like just the staff, everybody's great. Yeah,
we all love working with you. It's always fun.
Yeah. And
from a staff perspective, and listen, I get the art. I'm a comic, but if a comic doesn't do the exact same show every night, it makes our time fly that much faster too, if that makes sense.
Yeah. I can't, I mean, I don't have the ability. No. I literally have to write. Yeah. I write a set out just so that I can kid myself that I'm going to follow the order, and I never follow the order ever. And, you know, I've got new stuff I'm doing. So then I'm excited about it, you know, like, you know, to me, it's not about delivering the punchlines in an order all the time. To me, I vibe off the energy in the room and what the room is giving off and then go from there. It's kind of like walking into a party and the party's like got one vibe and you're just jamming your own vibe and it doesn't match. You know what I mean? And I would just blow my brains out. Like, God bless some of these guys. I'm not saying it's better or worse or whatever. It's just like they go up and they can do their same act, start to back to front to back to, you know, A to Z. And like, just be like, Paul Mercurio killed himself on stage the other day saying, I can't do my jokes in this order anymore.
There's guys, you know this, there's guys that not only is the what they're saying same, they drink water at the same time in the set.
Yes.
Like, you can get it to that point where it's so well rehearsed that, okay, and then I'm going to say this and they're going to laugh. So that gives me time to drink and I drink here and I set it down and then I go on to this and then I plug the t-shirt at this point.
Well, Leno said to me one time, he said, there's sometimes, you know, I'll just get so locked in my act is, you know, set. Like I can say it, but my mind is completely somewhere else. I'm like, okay.
I get that. I get that a little bit.
Yeah.
I can see that.
It's like, I could be balancing my checkbook. I'm like, well, that's a big goddamn checkbook. I'll tell you that. And of course he's saying that as his head is moving around like a giant Macy's Thanksgiving Day parade balloon that's in the wind. But I get it. Like, you can lock in, you know, and it's like, you know, ever notice anything? You know, like, he's a good guy.
You got your start with Leno. I think you probably told that story on this show before.
He's a good guy, and I met him at a private function and gave him a bunch of jokes, and that was the start of it. And I remember, like, I was so nervous, I gave him the jokes. I was a lawyer doing mergers and acquisitions, and then he's like, I had, I don't know if you need jokes, but I'm going to use them anyway. Hey, come back here. What do you do? I goes, I'm a lawyer. He goes, oh, yeah, you're not a very smart lawyer. You may want to put your name and your phone number on here so I know how to reach you. I'm like, oh, Jesus Christ, what an idiot. And then that's how it started. And then he called me a couple of days later. It's Jay Leno. I'm like, what? What do you want? Stop calling me, Jay. You have friends. I can't be your friend. You are so needy. And I hung up on him. And I said, Letterman's online too. And I hung up on him. He's actually a good guy.
Balls to do that. And most guys wouldn't do that.
Yeah, there's been a few moments. It's hard to get Paul McCartney on my podcast. Like, you do have to, like, if you do it the right way, you know, people have to respect somebody that's, you know, just trying to, you know, kind of, you know, be motivated, you know? Right. And of course, I humped his leg and said, I need work, please. And that, you know, helped a lot. So
you were my favorite Beatle, and I think he's on. I think he's on the hook there. I liked you so much more than John. Okay, I'm on your show.
Exactly. Yeah. By the way, I said to Paul, I bang Yoko. Not very good. Not very good in bed. Yeah. All that screaming, I'm out of it in bed. It's really off-putting. It's a real erection killer. Oh, man. Well, I'm looking forward to this, man.
Yeah, it should be a fun week, man. Always great having you at the club, and thanks for doing this.
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
We'll see you, man. It's going to be a great week. Get those tickets, people. Come on.
Yeah, the 12th to the 14th, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, then Sunday, I'm coming to everybody's house. I'm just going to drive around, get some free food. I'd like a little a bacon and eggs in the morning. If I get to your house in the afternoon, like a nice Italian hero, and then at night, steak, medium rare, and don't give me the asparagus. That's no one should eat that. That's bad stuff. That's bad stuff. But you know, it'll be fun, man. It'll be good. And please, if you're gonna drive around with me, shower. You know how it is.
Yes, of course. I will make sure I smell nice. None of that.
All right.
I won't creep you out like Steven. But by the way, apologize on my behalf to Steven.
Okay.
Just say Steven, that creepy guy from September 19th.
Well, there was something about his name is never to be mentioned in this building again. I'm like, wow.
A picture of
really
me outside
dislike
the Ed Sullivan. Right. Do not
he
let
He said
him.
To me, he looks like the kind of guy, Steven said this to me, who would just have an L at the end of his name for no fucking reason at all.
May my mother rest in peace, knowing that Stephen Colbert hates my name. All right. Love you, Paul. Thanks for talking,
man.
All right, we'll see you this week.
Soon.
It'll be great. Bye-bye.
All right, buddy. Be fun.
Always fun talking to Paul. Thank you, man. That was great. Fun stories, man. He harassed Paul McCartney in the hallway at The Daily Show to get him on his podcast. What a cool thing. And, of course, writing jokes for Jay Leno. Just out of the clear blue sky, he knew he'd see Leno. He wrote the jokes. He made the move. Now he's headlining the Comedy Castle all these years later. Great job, Paul. Really looking forward to his shows. And yes, we did not. The Super Bowl had not yet happened when we recorded this interview, so we don't have much Super Bowl commentary. If you're looking for that on this Monday or whenever you're hearing the show. But, hey, thanks to Paul. We want to see you guys out there this weekend. Go over to ComedyCastle.com. Valentine's Day, your wife will love it. Your girlfriend will love it. Even if you know, you're worried about that when it comes to live comedy, don't be. My wife is a big fan of Paul. She came out to his, she's coming out on the Friday night. So she got some girlfriends coming with her on Friday night. And, yeah, it's a great show. Going to be a great week. I want to thank you all for listening to this one. It was fun having Paul on, so thanks again to him. And what can I tell you, man? Happy Valentine's Day. find your way out to the Comedy Castle, whether it be for the big benefit show on Wednesday night with the Salvation Army, or just because it's Valentine's Day, or just because it's Friday night. And you got nothing to do. You want to see something great? Paul Mercurio fits the bill. Mark Ridley's Comedy Castle. ComedyCastle.com for all your tickets. We'll catch you next week, guys.